Today on Real Life Radio.
Say, well, Pastor, I feel like I'm under God's vengeance. Buddy, you don't know a thing about God's vengeance. He's not doing that right now. God may discipline, God may chastise, God may scold you. The truth of the matter is, though, God is not right now operating in judgment or wrath or vengeance.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When the Judgment of God Comes. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord has made a way of escape, and He's ready to forgive with abundant mercy all those who come to Him. You see, it doesn't take someone who reads the Bible very long before they realize that God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But there will be a time of God's judgment, and it's going to be like no other time on earth. And when that judgment comes, there'll be a silent pause in heaven because of what Jesus is about to do. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that God's judgment will be a day of vengeance. It will come to those who've rejected Christ, but not to those who follow Christ and have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And now in his message called When the Judgment of God Comes, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 1, we consider a few things and then we'll move on. The first point is that there will be a silent pause in heaven because of what Jesus Christ is about to do. Jesus is the one who will preside over the judgment of God. It's Jesus who opens the seventh seal and there is that silence. Listen to this. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, says, Then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and Jesus stood up, and it was handed to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. This is Jesus' first public sermon. Listen carefully. It's in direct connection to chapter 8. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That's Isaiah chapter 61, by the way. And Jesus said, verse 18, Luke 4:18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Did Jesus do that, everybody? Yes. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Did Jesus do that? Yes. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Did he do that? Yes. The recovery of sight to the blind. Did he do that? Yes. And to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Yes, he did that. Verse 19. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Did he do that? Yes. But there's a comma right there. It says, with that, then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant of the synagogue, and Jesus sat down while all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then Jesus began to say to them, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And then, of course, they went nuts, right? Because they understood that that was a prophecy of the Messiah, that Jesus was announcing that he was God come to earth in human flesh by doing so, and that he was to be rejected and stoned because they would not believe him. Jesus said, this is the fulfillment. What's interesting is, at that comma of Isaiah 61, verse 2, Jesus stopped at a comma. When he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of God, he didn't say that. That was the very next statement. This is so significant because in Isaiah 61, verse 2, it correlates exactly with Revelation chapter 8, all the way out to chapter 19. Jesus paused at that comma, closed the book, because for the last 2,000 years, it would be time to preach the gospel of grace. Are you with me? Do you understand that? And so the gospel has gone out into the world. There is the day of the vengeance of God that is coming. God's judgment is the day of vengeance, and it will come upon a certain group of people, not believers. You need to understand that. Say, well, Pastor, I feel like I'm under God's vengeance. Buddy, you don't know a thing about God's vengeance. He's not doing that right now. God may discipline, God may chastise, God may scold you. The truth of the matter is, though, God is not right now operating in judgment or wrath or vengeance. So Jesus is about to unleash the wrath of God upon the earth, and so there's a pause. There's a pause in heaven also because of what heaven is about to see. The grammatical picture that is painted here is very awesome, and frankly, it is frightening because heaven is in awe of about the things that are soon to take place on the earth. I would venture to say that it's quite difficult to impress heaven. You know what I'm saying? Heaven is where angels dwell. Heaven is where the saints have gone. Heaven is an awesome, wonderful place. Heaven is a holy place. Yet heaven is aware of a future event that just before it happens, John says that there's silence for about a half an hour. Heaven is about to witness, listen, the wrath of God upon a Christ-rejecting world. Did you hear me, everyone? Did you get that? Before you leave this building today, don't think that God's got his hands on his hips and he's sharpening, as it were, a sickle, and he's got a funky-looking grin on his face like, you know, I'm going to start slapping people. He doesn't delight in that. God will exercise his wrath and vengeance upon one and one group of people only, a Christ-rejecting people. That's what the Bible says. Well, what about alcoholics, adulterers, fornicators, warmongers, whoremongers, mother murderers, father murderers, rapists, thieves, crooks, extortionists, hey, did you know none of those sins send a person to hell? Did you know that? The Bible says there's one sin. Jesus died for the sins of the world, says the Bible. There's only one sin that sends a person to hell. And the Bible says it's rejecting Christ as your Redeemer. That's it. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If you don't make it to heaven, it will be because of one reason. And that is you have repeatedly, constantly, day by day, neglected to come to Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross. I tell you, you know what? We had the most fun time in Israel. And I just challenge you to grab anybody who went to Israel and find out if their lives were not moved and changed. Because you know what? I would grab the Bible and we would pull up perhaps to a place like the Valley of Elah, which is one of the last places we were there before we went home. And we stood in the valley between the two mountains in 1 Samuel 17. Guess what? Those two mountains are still named the same names today. And you stood in this valley. Nothing's there but a dried up riverbed. And that dried up riverbed is one of the only places in all of Israel that has in its riverbed smooth, round stones. And the Bible says that between these two mountains, Israel was encamped with the Philistines, and they were about to war back and forth, and a young boy came out whose name was David and picked up five smooth, round stones and stood between these two mountains and challenged Goliath to a battle. And we're standing there, and the two mountaintops are there, and you were holding the rock, and I got a couple of guys together, one guy that was about 6'6" and one guy that was about 5 feet tall. And we kind of had a little reenactment right then and there. And the awesome thing is to have your Bible open and stand in the place. Nobody can do that in the world but you. Did you know that? We went to the Valley of Armageddon and stood in the Valley of Megiddo and opened up our Bibles and talked and taught on the book of Revelation and the last battle on earth. And while we were there standing, F-16 jets were flying over, giving us goosebumps. As the Bible says, in that valley, someday soon, we don't know when, but there will be a war of nations gathered. In that valley, Napoleon said this. No wonder why the Bible calls it the last battlefield. For in this valley, he says, is the greatest battlefield that a general could command. And we stood in the place. Only a Christian or a Jew can open up the Bible and say, we're standing in the place. I tell you, our faith is founded upon fact. It is awesome to be a Christian. It is awesome to open up the Bible and stand in a place where God has spoken of in his word. We learn on the last day also that we're in the southern steps of the temple, unearthed, by the way, through recent archaeological excavations, and Neil Armstrong was on a tour, a personal tour, and he asked his tour guide, I want to stand on the stones that Jesus stood on. Show me some of those stones. And so the tour guide told him and said, we know for a fact that these stones were here and were used at the time of Jesus. He would have gone up and down these very steps as it enters in to the Temple Mount. And Neil Armstrong said, I thought it was awesome to stand on the moon to take the first steps. That wanes in comparison to stand where Jesus stood. Neil Armstrong said that. You won't read that in Time magazine. To stand in the place. Silence in heaven because of what God is about to do. And it will happen in the future days. If you're trusting in Christ, you'll be long removed from this moment in time. But the day of God's reckoning will come. Judgment has to come against the Christ-rejecting world. When the judgment of God comes, there'll be silence in heaven. There'll be a pause because silence shouts the righteousness of God. Throughout Scripture, the Bible warns over and over again, be silent before the Lord, for He is holy. Another point that we see is in verse 2. When the judgment of God comes, solemn preparation must be made. Before the judgment of God will come to the earth, there's solemn preparation that's made. And we see that in verse 2. And it says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. You got to kind of imagine this in your mind's eye. By the way, trumpets were used for the calling of God's people to gather for worship in the Old Testament. Trumpets were used for calling of God's people to war in the Old Testament. By the way, even in the 18th century, even the early 19th century, trumpets were used to call people to war. Trumpets were also used in the Old Testament to call God's people together for announcements. Many times you go to the East Coast of the United States. We've kind of lost it out here in the West Coast, kind of sad. But if you go to the East Coast of America or maybe Midwest, the tolling of a church bell was an announcement for many cultures in many places, most around the world, even, again, Eastern Coast of the United States. When the church bells tolled, it meant to gather together. There was to be an announcement made. Trumpets. The angels will stand and they will pull out their trumpets. And these are not ram's horns, by the way. These are trumpets of judgment. Great, ominous warning. And so there's a preparation made. And one of those is this. When the judgment of God comes, the solemn preparation made is because God is in heaven and He's holy. See, you might have a question this morning. Why is this even important, Pastor? Can you just move on to chapter 9? You know what? It gets pretty spooky from here on out. You want to make sure that you're not here. So let me tell you right up front right now. God is holy. Listen, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to say this. I love saying this. People love, you know, oh, show me a miracle, show me a miracle. I'll tell you, you know what the greatest miracle ever was? And in my opinion, ever shall be. Is not the blind having their sight restored. You say, well, you know, lucky you, you can see. I can see with these glasses on. But you know what's more important than getting my eyesight back or maybe, you know, your leg growing or whatever the thing might be? You know what's more important than all that? You know what the greatest miracle ever was? That God who is not a human being, God who is something altogether different, came by way of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem as prophesied by the Scriptures, took on Himself human skin and stepped into the world. That to me is the greatest miracle of all. That God, who's not a human, became a human to live a life, to meet all the requirements of the law that He gave. Only He could do it. To meet its demands, to show of His perfection, and then, in association with our imperfection, Jesus, who was innocent, but we are guilty, went to the cross and died in our place. Is that not awesome? God is holy. And so preparation in heaven is made because judgment must come upon the earth. Why is God going to judge the earth? Because He is pure. And Habakkuk 1:13 says His eyes are so pure that He cannot look upon evil. You say, well, if that's the case, why then did God ever create man if He knew that he was going to be evil? Because of choice. And you love choice. Don't tell me you don't. You love it. Man, those of us who are parents, we would kind of hope and pray and wish that our kids didn't have a choice. You know when you say clean your room? Do you know those little stinkers have a choice? So, well, not my home. Oh, pfft, they do too in your home. Go clean your room. And they go to their room. They may clean it eventually. But they have a choice. You have a choice. After service, you're going to eat whatever you want to eat. In fact, you might send it back because you know what? You didn't bring me what I wanted. Why? Because you have a choice. God engineered within the human being the ability to choose. That's the only way you can have true love and true worship. But man pirated such a privilege and a responsibility and decided to go it alone without God. That man was called Adam. And we've been messed up ever since. And we can't blame Adam because we probably would have did the same thing. But God is in heaven and he's holy. And before he makes things right upon this planet, sin has got to be judged. When the judgment of God comes, solemn preparation must be made. We see in verse 2 also because man practices sin and deserves judgment. Now, this is not popular. You're going to email me and say, how dare you say this and that. And I had some woman tell me a couple weeks before Resurrection Sunday, I can't believe that you were talking about me in service. You completely exposed me. I didn't even know who she was. I was talking about something and I was saying something. The Holy Spirit was talking to her. I didn't even know her situation. Then she went ahead and wrote me and indicted herself. You said this about me, this about me, and this about me. Signed, and I don't even know who she is. Listen, the truth of the matter is we are all sinners. And you who think, oh, not me. I mean, you might be pastor, but I'm doing there. You're the biggest one. You're so self-righteous. I can't believe you're saying that. You don't judge. Oh, Jesus said, don't judge. The word is condemned. Don't condemn anybody. We don't have that right. But Jesus also said to be a fruit inspector. And the Bible also said that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. You see, it's human nature to practice sin. And it's in our blood. And that's not a popular thing to say. But as cute as that little baby might be, he's a rotten, stinking sinner. It's true. They got it. Nobody taught us. Now, this is how you steal. You go into the kitchen, even though she said not to get the cookies. You go in there, you lift the lid, you take a cookie, you put it in your pocket. That's how you do it. No, we have to tell our kids, when you go into the kitchen, don't steal those cookies. Leave the pie on the countertop. Don't poke it. So what do you do when you tell a kid, and keep your fingers out of the cake? When you tell your five-year-old that, don't put your fingers in the cake when you go in there, what do they do? Right? And then they'll taste it. And then they'll try to convince you, did you taste the cake? Did you poke it? Not me. And they've got chocolate frosting right on their face. Where does that come from? The Garden of Eden, Adam. It's from Eve. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. 2 Samuel 12, 9 says, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? 2 Kings 17, 17 says, the people cause their sons and daughters to be dedicated to idols. They practice witchcraft and astrology, that's the zodiac, and gave themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to make him angry. Genesis 6, 5, and the Lord recorded that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that the intent and the thought of his heart and mind was that to do evil continually. Isn't that amazing? It's been, it's kind of weird, but it says, I've read this in sociological books, psychological books, that a man thinks a perverse sexual thought once every 10 seconds. Now, I don't know, how in the world did they ever think of that one? Well, you have a little meter you put on his head and whoop, 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 whoop. I don't think it's every 10 seconds, but the third consideration here is when the judgment of God comes, there's a solemn preparation because evil is about to run its course. This is an amazing thing. People, we are a people, a race that wants its own way without God. And when we get it, we mess it up. That's what utopia is all about. Did you know that? It's man creating a world without God, thinking that man can govern himself. Ladies and gentlemen, Republicans and Democrats and you independents, we can't do it. We can't do it. It's flawed from the beginning. We need Christ. And he begins by coming into our lives and making us new. The greatest government of all is a theocracy, when God rules and reigns in men's hearts. That's how the world is changed. But the Bible says it won't be changed until Christ comes. So evil has got to run its course. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 6:13, in the prayer that we ought to pray as a pattern, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why? Because it's ever and forever around us. John 3:15 down to John 3:19 says, whoever believes or trusts in Christ should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or preeminent glorified Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, in light of Revelation chapter 8, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Did you hear that? And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love their darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Meaning that men planned and schemed and looked forward to doing evil rather than following God. And every one of us, before we came to Jesus, we know exactly what that means. Third point this morning, verses 3 to 6, is when the judgment of God comes, the prayers of God's saints will be heard. The prayers of God's saints will be heard. Look at verses 3 through 6. Then the other angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. This is in heaven. This is not in some earthly temple. And he was given much, not a little, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. Those of you who know your Old Testament, you see this now, the tabernacle or the Holy of Holies being formed in your mind. And verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. That's answered prayer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When the Judgment of God Comes. So glad you took the time to spend with us today here as we study the book of Revelation. When the Judgment of God Comes is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, a lot of Americans are on the internet talking about how this world should be moving towards a socialistic society. They think it promises a utopia. But do they really know what they're asking for? Well, if you think about it, really it's repeating a total nightmare. History's proven over and over again that socialism is not the idyllic answer, nor does it make for happy people. Pastor Jack's book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. It's by William J. Federer. Now that's an impressive title for an equally impressive and eye-opening book. Is socialism the dream of an ideal society? Is communism the same as socialism? Are the crises we face right now an attempt for governmental control? And the most important question, how does God fit into all of this, and what does the Bible say about it? Find the answers to these questions and more, and when you do, share this book with anyone and everyone you know. Again, the book of the month for March is called Socialism: The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.